A quick warning before we start today's show. This episode contains allegations and descriptions of sexual misconduct and assault.
Serious accusations against Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson.
Six more civil lawsuits accusing Deshaun Watson of sexual assault and inappropriate conduct were filed on Monday.
If you're the NFL, this has to get your attention. This is a star player that had, up until this point, a pristine profile. And now all of a sudden, with all this, things changed.
In 1 week's time, the Deshaun Watson saga has taken a disturbing turn. 16 women have filed civil lawsuits claiming sexual misconduct and coercive behavior, raising questions that now overshadow Watson's long-running dispute with his team. Today, investigative reporter John Barr breaks down this avalanche of allegations, and beat reporter Sarah Barshop explains how the Texans and the NFL might handle a quarterback whose employment has gotten complicated, to say the least. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, March 25th. This is ESPN Daily. John Barr, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So you've been reporting on what is the biggest story in the NFL right now, and it has to do with the staggering and rapidly escalating number of civil lawsuits being filed against Deshaun Watson, the superstar quarterback of the Houston Texans. And these civil lawsuits, they all detail allegations of sexual misconduct and coercive behavior that all occurred during massage appointments, John, allegations that Watson has so far denied. But I want you to just walk us through how all of this started. How did this all first come to light?
Well, it came to light when the first lawsuit was filed on Tuesday of last week. And at that time, we just knew about one woman who was identified in the lawsuit as a Jane Doe. She filed the lawsuit anonymously, and she alleged that Watson essentially sexually assaulted her during a massage. We now know that subsequent to that, there have been 15 other women who have come forward, all who filed lawsuits anonymously, who make similar allegations. And, you know, there's some disturbing behavior that's alleged here. Everything from Watson allegedly forcing these women to perform sex acts on him to Watson appearing naked when he should have been covered during massage and getting sexually aroused and touching these women with his genitals, flat out asking them to touch his genitals. So there's a range of behavior that's described, but this started with one lawsuit. It quickly snowballed to seven lawsuits last week. And as we're speaking, nine more lawsuits this week, bringing the total to 16.
So, John, last Tuesday was when we in the public got a sense of what had been happening here with Tony Busby, the attorney for the first woman, and all the subsequent women filed the first civil suit. What was happening behind the scenes there?
Well, we've gotten indications that Deshaun Watson was dealing with this issue as far back as late last year. We know from Busby himself that he reached out to Watson's camp in February, and Watson made a reference to that in his one and only public denial, where he talked about an attorney reaching out and demanding a six-figure settlement. That was relating to the first woman who ultimately filed the lawsuit. Busby said that he took several weeks just to vet this woman's story.
You should all know that before we filed the first lawsuit, I personally visited with the plaintiff multiple times. I wanted to make damn sure that what she was saying was plausible, was right and true.
So ultimately, that first lawsuit gets filed on Tuesday, then another follows that same day, then a third, and then all of a sudden seven last week, and now nine more additional this week. But Watson's camp, according to our own reporting, had this on the radar as far back as late last year. And then the actual outreach from Busby to his camp started in February of this year.
So did it feel like there was a mutual interest in settling this out of court, preventing this from coming to light as early as that time?
No, not at all. If you believe Tony Busby's account, he said that when he spoke to an individual who we now know is the general counsel for Athletes First, the agency that represents Deshaun Watson, in Busby's characterization, he was dismissive and even arrogant.
We actually had contact with Deshaun Watson's agent slash lawyer from Los Angeles, who minimized these allegations, who did not take them seriously, we wanted to resolve this matter without a lawsuit, without any publicity. We
knew that's all water under the bridge. Bottom line is there was no settlement, and Tony Busby is proceeding with lawsuits in fairly rapid fire fashion. We anticipate that more will come out because he has gone public saying he has heard from 24 women. And to date, there are only 16 lawsuits filed.
That's what's been so incredibly jarring to me, John, just the rate at which these civil lawsuits have been piling up and women are stepping forward seemingly continually to join this case. And so we are speaking right now on Wednesday afternoon, and you just said it, 16 lawsuits now filed against Deshaun Watson, all of them describing incidents that took place as early as March of last year and as recently as March 5th of this year. So how would you characterize the allegations that are being made here? What makes all of these cases so similar?
Well, look, they're disturbing if you believe these allegations. It ranges from everything from Watson forcing women to perform sex acts on him to Watson, you know, disrobing when it was entirely inappropriate to disrobe during a massage, getting sexually aroused, touching women with his genitals, asking women to touch his genitals, telling women don't talk about what happened here. Allegations that he asked massage therapists to sign non-disclosure agreements before even performing the massage. I mean, you know, Think about that on its face. Like, why would you need a massage therapist to sign a non-disclosure agreement? You know, there's one case that came to light earlier this week where an LA-based massage therapist alleges that she met Watson at a home in Beverly Hills. She was led into a room by Watson. He locked the door. She grew concerned and pulled out a can of mace. He then proceeded to do what he had done previously, according to the lawsuits that have been filed, and get very aggressive and demand that she touch his genitals. And then ultimately, she alleges he touched her with his genitals. You know, it's disturbing on its face. And Rusty Hardin, Deshaun Watson's high-powered criminal defense attorney, came out with a very strong statement yesterday denying any of that happened. And also, he alleged that the third woman who filed the lawsuit actually reached out to Watson's camp in January in kind of a multi-layered extortion plot. So The intrigue has only grown as the days go by.
So these are all massage therapists, John, and it seems, based on what's been filed, that the supermajority of these cases involve women who Deshaun Watson ended up reaching out to over Instagram?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, overwhelmingly, he reached out to these women on Instagram. Not entirely, but in the majority of the cases. There are two cases that don't fit that description. In one instance, according to Tony Busby, a Texans trainer referred a massage therapist to Watson. And then there was another instance where his personal quarterback's coach was said to have referred Watson to the massage therapist. But other than that, based on what we've read thus far, he met the women on Instagram, and many of the women used Instagram as a way to promote their businesses.
And so these massages were scheduled to take place inside of private homes sometimes, hotels sometimes, the spas or salons themselves. But just the basics of that, John, the idea that these massages had been scheduled, that there had been contact between Deshaun Watson and these women, that much is not in dispute. Is that safe to say?
Well, it's interesting because when Rusty Hardin made his most expansive comments to date on Tuesday of this week, he issued a very, you know, firm denial, but also released a declaration from a guy named Brian Burney. And Brian Burney is the marketing manager for Deshaun Watson. And Burney claims that back in mid-January, he heard from a woman who we now know to be Jane Doe number 3, and that she was asking for $30,000 in exchange for her indefinite silence. When Burney pressed her and tried to ascertain the nature of why she would be asking for money, he said that he was able to determine that whatever happened between this woman and Watson was consensual. He says that the woman admitted it was consensual. Subsequent to that conversation, Burney said he heard from a man who was associated with this woman who identified himself as her business manager, and that business manager also asked for the $30,000. When Burney said to the man, "Look, what you're talking about here, it sounds a lot like extortion," the guy replied, "Allegedly, it's not extortion, it's blackmail." So if you believe Bernie's account, she describes it as consensual. So I don't know what to make of that, but Rusty Hardin is using that as a tactic to try to discredit all of the cases. If one case is based on extortion and lies, he says, then you can't trust any of the cases.
So just to keep track of all the names here, John. So Brian Birney is an employee for Deshaun Watson. Rusty Hardin is the attorney for Deshaun Watson. And the attorney for all of the women in this case is a man named Tony Busby, who is seemingly a pretty notable character, a figure in the Houston area himself. What do we know about Tony Busby?
Well, he's a colorful character, that's for sure. You know, he's a former Marine. At one point, he defended the former governor of Texas, Rick Perry, when Perry was facing charges that he abused his power. You know, Tony Busby drives a Ferrari. He bought a World War II-era tank and got complaints from the Homeowners Association when he parked it in front of his house. He's incredibly wealthy. He has won judgments in excess, well in excess of $100 million against British Petroleum for the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. You know, he doesn't have a great deal of experience in cases like this, although there was a famous case in Texas involving Stanley Marsh, who once operated something that folks in Texas will remember, the Cadillac Ranch. And the allegations there were that Marsh was luring young boys out to the Cadillac Ranch to molest them. Well, Tony Busby successfully represented a number of these now men. And actually, during his press conference, you know, which was on some level full of bravado, he said, "You see that picture on the wall right there that says Cadillac Ranch for sale?
Where you see Cadillac Ranch where it says is no longer owned by Stanley Marsh. The reason for that is sitting right here. We won't be deterred. We're prepared and we do our homework."
He's not shy about pointing to the skins on the wall. I've seen characterizations of him as a personal injury attorney, and that sort of connotes these images of some, you know, billboard posting, 1-800 slip and fall
right.
Type attorney. He's not that. He is an experienced litigator, and he has won substantial judgments, and he will be a formidable opponent for Rusty Hardin, who's no slouch of his own. He's, you know, some would argue the best criminal defense attorney in Texas. So if you just look at it through the lens of the legal showdown, it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Okay, John, I want to take a quick break, and then I want to turn our attention to that legal showdown.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So as you've been looking into this story, John, outside of these lawsuits, all of which have been filed by women who are so far anonymous, Jane Doe's, have you found any other evidence of this kind of behavior from Deshaun Watson?
No, we have not. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is the compressed nature of it. You think about these allegations right now, 16 lawsuits in, we're seeing allegations that this started on March 30th of last year up until March 5th of this year, which essentially is the COVID era. And, you know, we've not heard anything thus far that suggests this behavior predates his time with the Texans, for example. One source I spoke with earlier this week was very familiar with the background check that the Texans did on Watson when he was coming out of Clemson and when he was entering the draft in 2017. And this individual told me that in the club's estimation, he was no risk which is the lowest possible threshold on the risk meter for the Texans. So yeah, he checked out. And when you talk to people who knew Deshaun Watson back in the day or who are tight with him now, they'd say, you know, this is just not something consistent with his character. They use words like shocking. You know, you hear things like, this is the last thing I would ever expect Deshaun to be accused of. So he certainly has people in his corner who look at this as completely inconsistent with his character.
And it is important to reiterate here, John, that these are civil suits, which are brought on by individuals. They're not criminal cases as of yet, cases that are prosecuted by the government. That's not what these are. But what could the financial or court-ordered ramifications for Deshaun Watson be if these suits continue to go forward? What's at stake here?
Well, Tony Busby made a big deal about the fact that these cases aren't about money, and he said that they're being filed under what's called the jurisdictional minimum. But that doesn't mean there wouldn't necessarily be a larger settlement for these women. That's still something that could happen in the civil courts. But in terms of financial ramifications, you know, you think about any type of endorsement deal. Companies are loath to controversy. So without question, whether he's innocent or not, this is going to cost Deshaun Watson opportunities to earn potentially tens of millions of dollars in endorsements. And then you think about just what it means for his football future, which is a completely separate conversation. You know, you mentioned that this is not a criminal case. And look, it may never become a criminal case in the sense that charges will never be filed. But Tony Busby has said that he will turn information over to the police and prosecutor's office, which would put it into the realm of the criminal justice system. We just don't know where that will go, whether that will actually result in criminal charges being filed.
And in terms of law enforcement's involvement, in terms of the potential for criminal investigation, John, what is your state of the union as we stand today on all of that?
Well, the DA's office won't comment on whether they received anything from Tony Busby and says, because this is a civil case, it would be inappropriate to comment unless and until charges are filed. But look at it like this. So you've got a district attorney in Houston who is a career prosecutor, very well regarded. But you're the DA in Houston and you're weighing whether or not to charge the star quarterback of the hometown team. You know, that's district attorneys are political animals. They run for office. You darn well better be right if you decide to file charges, because if you're wrong, it's the kind of thing that can end a career. Tony Busby had asked the district attorney to impanel a grand jury. I think it makes a lot of sense on some levels because prosecutors would be able to compel witnesses to testify through subpoena power. That testimony would be out of public view. So if the case turns out to be built on a house of cards, you wouldn't necessarily get egg on your face publicly. Prosecutors frequently use grand juries as investigative tools to see how strong the case is. But let's say they do impanel a grand jury and the grand jury indicts Watson, well, that's when the rubber is going to hit the road. That's when a prosecutor is going to really have to decide whether to bind the case over for trial and whether we have the public spectacle of the criminal trial of Deshaun Watson. But we're a long way from any of that. Right now, the guy hasn't even faced charges, and we haven't even received confirmation that the police and prosecutors have received information from Busby's clients.
So, John, given that broad universe of possibilities, where do you think this goes from here?
Well, I think it's inevitable there will be more civil cases. Tony Busby, as I mentioned earlier, has indicated that he's heard from 24 women. That was as of a few nights ago. So with 16 cases filed to date, that would suggest, you know, some number of those women are likely to file civil lawsuits. And then we'll just have to track the criminal side of this to determine whether or not Houston police are indeed investigating, and the district attorney's office, whether the district attorney in Harris County, Texas, will pursue this as a criminal matter. That's the next part of it. And then, of course, there's the league, right? The league is investigating this under the personal conduct policy. So there are also football questions. And look, at some point, Deshaun Watson is going to be reporting that to that facility, and I don't know if the COVID restrictions will ease in terms of reporter access to the Texans. Right now, maybe he's thinking it's not an entirely bad thing that the media isn't congregating in the locker room, because you can imagine the scene as they gather around his locker. He's going to be the guy under a microscope. Now, if the media is let back in full force, he will definitely be facing remarkable scrutiny.
John Barr, I look forward to staying in touch as you continue to track this story unfolding.
Thanks a lot.
Coming up, Texans beat reporter Sarah Barshop joins us for a look at all the football questions that now surround Deshaun Watson.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Sarah Barshop, thank you for joining me.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
So you're our Texans reporter, Sarah, and the last time we had you on the podcast, it was about Deshaun Watson's future with the team, which at that point, as we recall, was already super complicated, to say the least, well before this ongoing series of allegations against him. So what are you hearing from the Texans, Sarah, in all of this? How is the organization reacting to this many lawsuits that have now been brought against Deshaun Watson?
The Texans were totally blindsided by these lawsuits. They found out just like we did last Tuesday when Tony Busby posted on Instagram that he was filing a lawsuit against Deshaun Watson. Mm. And so now they're kind of letting it play out. I mean, honestly, a lot of people I've talked to haven't even really wanted to talk to me about it because they're still kind of digesting this as they see the lawsuits come out. I mean, almost every single day we get at least one, and they're reading them too, just like we are. And so right now they're letting it play out. They know the NFL is investigating this, and they're kind of going to wait until that is settled before they make their next move.
Yeah, I'm looking at the statement they released last week, and it basically says, "We hope to learn more soon. We take accusations of this nature seriously. We await further information," which puts them in the holding pattern that you just described. So in the meantime, Sarah, Deshaun Watson obviously has this strained relationship with this franchise. How has this impacted that in specific?
From what I've been told, that he's still not talking with the team. And we haven't heard his perspective. The only thing we've heard from him since all of this started is when he put out that statement on the first night that Busby had posted that on Instagram and said and denied it, basically. But from what I've been told from talking to people around the team, he hasn't reached out to them. He hasn't wanted to talk to them, just like he hasn't all off season. And so I guess in some ways, not much has changed because the relationship was already strained, and this certainly hasn't made it any better.
And then from the city itself, the city of Houston, Deshaun Watson has been a pretty beloved figure in the community where you are. How has that response been like from the city?
There's basically been two separate conversations I've seen around this. One is the conspiracy theory that this is all a setup by the Texans because they're upset that he wants to be traded. Mm. And then the other is people who are upset by these accusations, who have read the lawsuits or have seen the summaries and are surprised, as we all were when these came out, and, you know, are upset by them. So I've seen both sides of the spectrum, certainly on Twitter. Anytime I tweet about these lawsuits, I see responses from both sides.
That conspiracy, Sarah, that you just mentioned there, I've seen that on the internet too. Where does that even originate? What are the roots of that theory?
Well, when Tony Busby posted on Instagram last Tuesday that that he was filing that first lawsuit, some fans scrolled a little bit further on his Instagram and saw a post where he referenced living on the same street as the McNair family and being neighbors with the late Bob McNair, who owned the Texans. Bob's son, Cal McNair, also lives on that street. So Busby brought up in his press conference, yes, I do live on the same street as Cal McNair, but I don't know him, and I haven't had any contact with the Texans about these lawsuits.
And I need to dispel some silly rumors. Yes, I live on River Oaks Boulevard, and I live near the McNair family. I don't know the McNair family. I wouldn't recognize Cal or Hal or whatever his name is if I saw him on the street. This case has nothing to do with the Texans, has nothing to do with free agency, the timing. I don't know anything about that silliness, and I don't, frankly, don't care about it. Texans are not a team that I follow.
So keeping in mind these theories, Sarah, and considering what Deshaun has always said he wants, which is to get out of Houston, do those conspiracies even make sense? Do they make it harder or easier for Deshaun Watson to get traded, do you think?
I think it's absolutely harder. Because from what I was told, obviously the Texans did not want to trade him because they wanted him to play for them.
Right.
But the other issue was that if they were going to entertain the idea of trading him, they knew that they had to get the proper value in return. They couldn't trade this top five quarterback, 25-year-old, under contract through the 2025 season. They couldn't trade him for a lesser return. And so you look at the lawsuits right now, there's no way that you're getting that value back. And so when the Texans are talking to other teams about this, why would a team pay more than they were willing to pay before?
So the other big variable in all of this, Sarah, is the NFL, obviously, and their response to all of this and their own investigation, where that would go. Where are we with what the NFL is going to do as regards Deshaun Watson?
The NFL investigation is a pretty long process because we know the NFL reached out to Tony Busby, and if his clients are going to cooperate with them and talk to them, the NFL will talk to as many women as they can. That would also involve an interview with Deshaun Watson. And so they've got to learn the facts of the case just as the Texans are and just as Deshaun Watson's lawyers are trying to figure out where this is headed. I mean, it's likely not even every lawsuit has been filed yet. And so my guess is they've got to wait for those lawsuits to be filed and then they can begin these interviews. And so there's been talk of the commissioner exempt list and whether he could go on that. And maybe if we get to the fall, that will be the case. I mean, that list is designed to stop players from playing in games, not so much not attending off-season programs. So I think we have a long time before the NFL has to make a decision about this.
So as the focus turns from the field to squarely off of it, and you have, Sarah, in your city, these two huge lawyers, these notable characters, playing this out in public, in the media, and then in the courtrooms, just give me a sense of how big a story this is in Houston right now. How much is this dominating the airwaves?
I think one thing that stood out to me is that really there aren't that many sports reporters in Houston covering that story. I mean, that's how big this is. That's how prominent these attorneys are. How big of a name Deshaun Watson is. You know, I was at Tony Busby's press conference, and there were a couple other sports reporters too, but mostly it was news reporters. And so I thought that was really interesting because this is obviously a topic of conversation all over sports media, especially locally in Houston. But I do think I've seen this conversation go far past what does this mean for Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, to what does this mean for Deshaun Watson, the person.
What do you think this means for the trajectory of Deshaun Watson's career in the NFL? As you continue to cover this team, where do you think this goes next?
Look, these aren't criminal charges. And we know that the NFL can handle criminal and civil lawsuits very differently. Doesn't mean Deshaun Watson won't be suspended because the NFL will do what they want to do. But I do think that even from a fan perspective, criminal lawsuits versus criminal charges are very different. And so if you had asked me 2 weeks ago, I thought Deshaun Watson was going to sit out this season. I really didn't think the Texans were going to trade him. And I knew he didn't want to play for them anymore. So I thought this was going to end up as him sitting out at least the beginning of the season. And now you look at this and you say, well, is the NFL even going to allow him to play the beginning of the season? We don't know where this is going to go, but my guess is that the legal proceedings go on into the summer and maybe the fall. Whether that means Deshaun Watson ends up on the commissioner exempt list or not, I don't know that right now he's the person the Texans want representing their franchise. I mean, how quickly this has changed. And so I don't know that he ever plays a snap for the Texans again.
Sarah Barshop, thank you for keeping us up to date, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.